Judges chapter number 2, I want to point out just a couple of things that's been on my heart about this old-fashioned day that we have. And I want you to look in verse number 6. Verse number 6 of Judges chapter number 2. I'm not sure what I said. I've been preaching down in Louisiana this week and down there with the alligators and everything else. And so whether in the body, out of the body, I cannot tell. Only God knoweth. And so anyway, Judges chapter number 2, verse number 6. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man into his inheritance to possess the land. The people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all of the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, he died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the Mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill Gaash. Also all the generation, all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them, bowed themselves unto them and provoked the Lord to anger. They forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. Let's go to the Lord's word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray right now, God, would you please help us the next few minutes. Lord, we need you. We need you. We're needy people. And Lord, I pray that you would help us right now. God, Lord, I don't know who's saved, who's not. I don't know who's ready to go, who's not. But Lord, I pray on this special day, we got a lot of visitors here, a lot of home folks here. And God, I pray that you would help us like never before. And Lord, we'll thank you now and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Y'all remember when how many of you remember you cleaned your rugs by hanging them out over the clothesline and hitting them with a stick? How many of y'all remember that? Y'all remember when you could walk into the grocery store and rattle off your list to the clerk and he'd run and get all your stuff for you? Movie theaters was cheaper on Saturday and you didn't have to worry about what you'd see. I remember, well, I don't remember, but a lot of you do, got the latest news and you got it from a radio. Doors of your home and automobiles were seldom locked. How many of y'all remember when you didn't know you were poor because everybody else was just like you? How many of y'all remember when you knew all your neighbors? And mother could can all the vegetables for the wintertime. You didn't have any AC, but you didn't know you were hot because it was always that way. At school, you were expected to pay attention and do what you were told the first time. Doctors made house calls and they carried everything they needed in a little black bag. Y'all remember when gay meant happy? And a mouse was a rodent and not something you had your hand on your desk. Downloading was how you got the hay into the barn. Y'all remember when Coke was something you drank out of a can? A website was where spiders lived. When mama said time out, it meant out in the woodshed. And how many of y'all remember this one? I know my dad does. Y'all remember this one? You hoped it wasn't raining when you needed to go to the restroom. Hallelujah. Our society has come a long way, don't you agree? Much of it, I can say that, like I said a while ago, I'm glad. I like the modern conveniences. I like air conditioning. I like indoor plumbing and all those kinds of things. But church, we've lost a lot of things. We've lost old-fashioned preaching. We've lost a voice behind the pulpit, a voice without compromise, one that wasn't afraid of the public opinion. They weren't preaching for a parsonage, a paycheck, or a pension. They were preaching no matter what. Most preachers today, without boldness, is like a knife without an edge, a gun without bullets, and a truck without four-wheel drive. Somebody say amen right there. Billy Sunday lived in the 1900s, and he preached against sin, he preached against drunkenness, he preached against alcohol, the wickedness of addictions. One day, somebody told him to tone it down. You're offending people. And they said, stop rubbing the cat the wrong way. Billy Sunday said, I ain't changing the way I'm preaching, so tell the cat to turn around. Amen. And so that's what kind of preaching we need today is preachers. And I'll be honest, I don't know a lot of you where you came from. You're visiting today or you're looking for a church. But I pray that Holy Hills Baptist Church will always stay old fashioned. We'll all have the old time music, the old time praising the Lord. Hey, around here, we liable to say amen. And we're liable to raise our hand and say praise the Lord. And we're liable to holler a little bit and lift our voice like a trumpet and tell the people of their sins. One day a young preacher asked John Wesley how to get more people to come and hear his preaching. He said, I want some bigger crowds. John Wesley said, allow God to set you on fire and the people will come and watch you burn. Amen. A little boy came home from church and his mama asked him, said, what did the preacher preach about today? He thought for a minute, scratched his head. He said, he didn't say. And that's the kind of preaching we got going on in pulpits all around the world. They're stirring up a lot of dust, but they're not saying nothing. And we need some preachers that'll say something. Preach against sin. Preach against wickedness. Preach that Bible, word for word, what it says, without error, without fear of the government, without fear of anything going on. D.L. Moody said, good preaching will make people get right or get mad and get out. Hallelujah. I want you to look at verse number 1. Chapter 2, the Bible says, and an angel of the Lord came from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to come out of the land of Egypt, or out of Egypt, and have brought you into the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. Hey, the angel of the Lord, I don't know if you know who that is, but that is a theophany. That is a Christophany. That is Jesus Christ before Bethlehem, a pre-Bethlehem appearance of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. The angel of the Lord. Well, if the angel of the Lord appeared unto the children of Israel and came unto them and told them, listen, children of Israel, I'm the one that brought you out of the land of Egypt. I'm the one that parted the Red Sea. I'm the one that delivered you by blood. I am the one that fed you with manna from heaven. I am the one that gave you water to drink out of the rock. I am the one that fed you when you needed something to eat and gave you something to drink. When you needed something to drink, please don't forsake me. A lot of those folks, they remembered the Lord parting the Red Sea. They remembered that. But here is where we are in America. This is where we're at in Dyersburg, Tennessee. A lot of those people have died off. A lot of those people have passed off the scene. There are no more D.L. Moody's. There are no John Wesley's anymore and Charles Wesley's anymore. Who's going to take their place? But I'm seeing That after all the generation were gathered unto their fathers, in verse number 10, that means that all this generation that saw the Red Sea part, that saw God feed them from manna from heaven, that whole generation that saw that has now passed on and they're buried out there somewhere. And then one of the most sobering texts in the Bible is, and there arose another generation which knew not the Lord, and don't remember, does not know how God parted the Red Sea, does not know how He fed them from manna with heaven, does not realize how He gave them water out of the drink. Ladies and gentlemen, we're living in that day right there. You say, why do we have abortion now legalized? Why do we now have gay marriage? You know why? Because there's a generation out there that knows not the Lord. You say, preacher, how did we get that way? Parents, listen to me real good. Holy Hills Baptist Church is not for everybody. I understand. A lot of people are looking for something a little different. But I'm telling you this, if you'll bring your kids here, if you would raise them up in this church right here, I know there's other good churches. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying we're the only game in town. I'm not saying that. But I'm telling you this, I don't know what other people are doing. I know what we're trying to do here. And if you'll bring them here and raise them up here, we're going to try our best to raise them to where they know who God is, and they know who parted the Red Sea, and they know who delivered the children of Israel. The book of Judges, I don't want to see that duplicated anymore. But I think we're living in that day. For the most part, we don't need God to supply us. We got Visa and MasterCard for anything we need. Instead of praying, we pay 15-20% interest on a credit card because we don't have time to pray. Used to, we'd pray 10 days and we'd preach twice and see multitudes saved. And now we pray 10 minutes and preach 10 days and we're not seeing nothing done. Amen. Now, y'all were shouting a while ago, what happened? The church used to be respected in the days of old. The church had a testimony. The church had a torch. And that torch is the Word of God. Amen. That church had a testimony. It was respected in the community. It had a torch. The church had trust. The church had a touch on it. The church used to have a touch on it where you could come to church and feel God move in the presence of His people. Can I show you this before y'all get too tired and too hungry? Can I show you this? Take your Bible and turn the book of Acts real quick, and I'm going to give you a couple of illustrations. I got a lot of message, but I'm going to have to cut this thing short because I don't want to lose none of you, but I want to get the point across. Oh, Lord, how I do not want to live in a generation to where people don't know anything about the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, while you're finding Acts chapter number 2, I just came from the lower part of Louisiana down there on the Gulf of Mexico. I woke up every morning, looked out the window, and there's the Gulf of Mexico. We went down into the inner city and was telling people about Jesus. You would be surprised at people that don't even know who He is. We're right in America. I didn't go to a third world country. I went to a place in America which looked like a third world country, and there's a generation raising up that don't know who the Lord is. Acts chapter number 2, won't you look at it? In verse number 41, I'm going to draw a point here. Day of Pentecost, verse 41, Acts chapter number 2. Then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about how many? 3,000 people got saved. Don't you know that preacher was standing down there a long time, shaking people's hands, signing cards? I mean, 3,000 people got saved in one day. Well, you say, oh, that was good. Oh, you ain't heard nothing yet. Turn the page to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, look at this, verse 4. 4:4.
Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about how many? Two chapters. Two chapters, you got 8,000 people that come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior in two chapters. This is the early church. This is when the church first started. This is the birth of the early church. And 8,000 people was in this thing. And I'm talking about a big, big place, because people were coming. 8,000 people got saved by God's marvelous grace. And they got saved by believing the Word. That's the early church. But now take your Bible and look at 1 Timothy. Let me show you this. I know this is a little odd on Sunday morning, but hang on. Usually I take a text and take a fit. 1 Timothy. I think that comes right before 2 Timothy. Look at chapter 4. Y'all ready? Look at this. We're finna go eat in a minute. Hang on. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the what times? Are y'all believe we're in them? Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with hot iron, forbidding to marry. Commanded to abstain from meats which God hath created to receive with thanksgiving to them which believe and know the truth. Now, look, turn your page to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. All right, hang on. Let me get you with me. Y'all see this little handrail over here? This is the birth of the church. This is Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 4, where we were reading a while ago. 3,000 got saved, and then the next chapter, 5,000 got saved. 8,000 people, right over here at this handrail, the early church, 8,000 people got saved in two chapters. Amen. Yeah. 2 Timothy, we over here at this handrail. Y'all with me? Now let me read from this handrail. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also, that in the what days? Perilous times will come. Alright? How are we going to know we're in perilous times? For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. We're in those days. Truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors. Traitors. Y'all know what politics is, don't you? You divide the word. When I was in school, you do the draw the line. My teacher taught me you do the line, you divide it. So you got poly, which is many. Poly is many. Ticks, bloodsuckers. That's just extra. Where was it? Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Now, wait. We fix to read verse 5. Don't read verse 5 yet. Don't read it. How many got saved over here? 8,000. Now we're at 2 Timothy. Look at this. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Here's the message. Here's the message, folks. Look here. This generation over here saw the works of the Lord, saw the parting of the Red Sea. Hey, you with me? There rose up another generation which knew not the Lord. Parents, it's very important on this old-fashioned day. See, these clothes, this is something we do once a year. But we can be old-fashioned every year, or every Sunday. We can be old-fashioned without the... We can have old-fashioned with a suit and tie or blue jeans, whatever you wear to church. Hallelujah. Just, you know, I believe in wearing your best. And if your best is a pair of blue jeans and a button-up shirt, hallelujah, praise the Lord, come on. And what we're raising a generation that don't know the story of the and I don't even know it now. The three Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace. We're seeing a generation that don't know nothing about Noah's Ark. We're seeing a generation now that don't know anything about Daniel and the lion's den. We're raising a generation now that don't know anything about David and Goliath. Let me give you this illustration. I've used this in another sermon. I'm going to give it to you right now. Y'all see this right here? This right here says truth. Let me tell you this. Truth never changes. Truth will always stand. Truth never changes. There is no error in truth. Truth is, you say, preacher, tell us the truth. I'm telling you this. Jesus is the only way to heaven. That's truth. You say, well, I don't believe that. It don't matter what you believe if what you believe ain't so. Poison kills whether you believe it or not. Electricity will bite you whether you believe it or not. Hell is hot whether you believe it or not. Just because you say, I don't believe in hell, preacher, that don't make it disappear. It's still there, and it's truth. Truth never changes, and it never will change. Jesus is the way, the, and the life. Never changes. Early church, y'all see this? Y'all see the early church right here? The early church was founded and built upon truth. Back over there at that hand, over at this handrail. 8,000 people getting saved in two chapters. Hey, the church was founded on truth. You can't get 8,000 people saved without preaching the church was founded, built on the the pillar and the ground of the truth. Then, what happens is, I'm going to give you this illustration, we're going. But I'm telling you, the day we're living in, this is why we have old-fashioned days. You see the world right here? The world never has liked truth. And the world has always been over here. Nowhere near truth. Y'all with me? Now, the world don't like truth. The world makes fun of truth. Watch the news. They make fun of truth. They make fun of preachers preaching the truth. They make fun. And they try to get them on there. They invite them on there. Say, preacher, you ever go? I don't know, because they trick you and make you say stuff you didn't say. Amen. The world don't like truth. And I'm going to tell you, there was a day when the church departed from truth and came to here. They left truth. Hang on. We're still not of the world. We're still different than the world. We're still different than the world. We're not like the world. Well, you ain't like truth either. So then the world does this. And then the church does this. Well, look at us. There's a lot of difference in the church and the world. Look. A lot of difference in the church and the world. Hey, we ain't like the world. Yeah, but 50 years ago, you're right where the world was. Then the world does this. Then the church says, okay. You say, preacher, that ain't right. Oh, yes, it is. How many of y'all remember? How many of y'all remember I Love Lucy? I Love Lucy. Who don't like? Who hadn't got your hand up and don't like I Love Lucy? Every head bowed, every eye closed, get down to this altar. I Love Lucy. Come on, people. My daddy told me, he raised me this way. He said, if it's in black and white, you probably can watch it. I Love Lucy. They married, right? They married. When you go in the bedroom scene, I love Lucy. How many beds? They married. And when the world wanted to show you something on TV in the bedroom, they married. They allowed to sleep in the same bed. But on TV, they said, we're going to go two separate beds. Now. Oh, yeah. We've moved a long way. We've moved a long way. Hadn't we? We're raising a generation that knows not the Lord. We're raising a generation. Our kids, their lives are at stake. It's important. You say, preacher, I explain it real good. Y'all remember the bathing suits of a long time ago? 70 years ago? Son, it plumb went down to the ground. You couldn't see nothing. And then over time, that thing started creeping up the leg. Then they started showing the calf. And now they show the whole cow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is that not the truth? Why? Because the church says, we're not like the world. We're different. Yeah, you are. But you're not where you used to be. And here's the invitation. Some of you in this room, you say, preacher, I'm saved. Man, I was raised up in a good church. Yeah, but you're not where you used to be. You're not standing where you used to stand. You're not at where you don't have the same values that you used to have. Used to, you'd turn the channel when something bad came on. Used to. Used to, you'd do things a little different. Used to, you wouldn't miss church for nothing. Man, you wouldn't miss church for nothing. When you first got saved, you wouldn't miss. I mean, if we was having a dog fight down here, you'd be down here. I mean, if you was having a rooster fight down here, I mean, you'd be down here and bring a rooster with you. Now you don't do it anymore. You're not standing where you used to stand. You say, preacher, what about us unsaved folk don't know the Lord? All I can tell you is start right back up here and give you the truth. And the truth is, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Say, preacher, I got to join your church? No. Salvation ain't joining the church. We'd like for you to come here, but that ain't saving nobody. You can sign every card in every church in Dyer County. You can get baptized in every creek and every bottom and every baptistry and every puddle that you find. Not saving you. Won't wash your sins away. Tell them I said it. Tell them the Bible said it. So what washes sins away? The blood of Jesus Christ. That's the truth. Hey, folks, come on. Holy Hills Baptist Church. Let me ask you something. I don't want to raise a generation that don't know the Lord. I'd like to move back to here. You say, preacher, the world's in a bad shape. Yeah, the world's in bad shape. Ain't it? Church is too. It's in bad shape. And we got to get back. No matter what the world does, say, church, we're going to go back to where we can see some people saved. Amen. Let's get back to where we can see some people saved. Right. Raise your family. Build your family. Some of you got small kids. Build your family. Get down this altar this morning and say, Lord, I want to build my family. I want to build my church. Everything about me. At my work, my job, my school. I want to build everything. My foundation. Lord, I want it to be what? Amen. Heavenly Father. Lord, I pray this morning. That wasn't even half the message you give me, Lord, but I think it's what you wanted. Lord, I pray right now, God, please, would you help us today? Help my church. It's my church. Not because I own it, but it's my church. It's where I go. my church, and those members that are here. It's their church. Lord, give us that church. We do want to raise a generation that don't know the Lord. God, help us to get back to some of the old-fashioned things of the Bible. God, you have it, Lord. If there's somebody in this room that don't know you, does not know you like we do, they've never trusted you, they've never asked you to come in their heart and save them. Lord, I pray to do it today. In Jesus' name, won't you stand to your feet? There's some that's already come down here and prayed, or is praying right now. Won't you come join them if you want to? Just come on and pray. How about it? Would you? Can you? Get back to some of the things you used to do. Get back to that truth. The way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Him. Oh, yes. Lord, I'm coming home. How about you? I invite you to come if you want to come pray about anything. Maybe you'll come pray about our church. Pray. Lord, we'll stay with the pillar and the ground of the truth. Thank the Lord for you. I do. I thank the Lord for you every day. Lord, help us. Say, preacher, I need to be saved. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll meet you down here halfway. I'll meet you down here. Show you how you can be saved. If you want to be saved. I can't save you. I can't come back here and make you if I wish I could. If you need to be saved, you need to know the Lord. What better day on an old-fashioned day? Old-fashioned salvation. Old-fashioned singing. Old-fashioned praising the Lord. When I say old-fashioned, I'm talking about like my daddy used to do. Brother Richard Hallam used to do. That's the kind of stuff I was raised on. I remember that. And Lord, help me not ever to forget it. Some of them old preachers I was raised up around. B.R. Lakin. I was in Virginia not too long ago. Went to see, he's buried over at Liberty University. B.R. Lakin. Went over there and just sort of gave him a salute there. I know he ain't there, but Lord, he's a good one. And preachers over there at Mount Zion, or Camp Zion down there. Man, that's what we need to get back to. Amen. Mark, give me the last verse. Give me the last verse of Amazing Grace. We're going to sing this. Now, while we're singing this, if y'all need to slip out for the bus, y'all go ahead. If y'all gonna stay, y'all staying today? Okay, y'all staying today. All right, give me that last verse. When we've been there 10,000 years, and I want you to sing it now. Sing it. I mean, sing it real good. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining. Praise God. Now, some people like to lift your hand. You ain't got to lift your hand and praise God, but if you want to, you can. You just make sure your hands and your heart is like this. And if it gets connected up to these hands and they go up too, that's great. Hallelujah. But the important thing is, in hands, your heart's got a mouth, it's got hands. So, preacher, what is that? That means I surrender. Y'all fit. Now, I'm not going to ask you if you've ever been arrested. Hold up. Well, see, the Lord comes through here. Holy Spirit comes through here and He'll say, hold up. say, Lord, you got me. You got me. And that's what you say. That don't mean you're Pentecostal. People say, what? They must be Pentecostal. They got the hand up. No, it's Baptist people raising their hands a long time before Zuzu Street. So, Mark, give it to me again now. Let's do it. Praise God now. Praise God. Praise God. Good to be in the house, Lord, today, hasn't it? Appreciate it.